Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you're new to the channel, consider subscribing. Click that notification bell so you never miss another video. A shout out to my channel members and my patrons, and everybody else that's on here tonight. Now, let's get spooky. The Dogman of Michigan. The Great Lakes State is known for many things. I'm sure the number one answer from any non-resident would be the automotive industry, which of course would be 100% accurate. Henry Ford didn't invent the car, but he made up the assembly system we all know today, and I'm guessing just about every factory in the world uses. I'm sure he didn't foresee robots replacing people on the line, but that's another story for another day. Let me say that I am indeed a lifelong Michigander. I lived in both of our beautiful peninsulas. If anyone doesn't know, Michigan is two separate pieces of land connected by the Mackinac Bridge. Classified as the peninsula, a body of land surrounded on at least three sides by water. Every resident of Michigan is no less than 3 miles away by some type of water, whether it be a pond, stream, creek, river, lake, etc. Michigan should be known for water just as much as the auto industry. The name of the state itself means Big Water from the Ojibwe tribe. I'd also like to make the rest of the world know that we should be the unofficial potato chip capital of the world. Try to get your hands on better-made chips. I'll just leave that right there. You know about the auto industry. You know the Motor City. You know there's a crap ton of water in this state. But what you might not know is that there are a plethora of scary, creepy, and unexplained myths and legends based out of Michigan. During my time in the Upper Peninsula, I lived in the middle of the woods. Some people may like the exclusion to city life. Some may like the quiet. That's all great. But man, I can't explain how unsettling that silence is some nights. I've heard a lot of bumps in the night up there. I've always explained it away as being wild animals. Hard to argue. You'd have a better chance running into deer, bears, or even badgers on your way home than seeing an actual person. Wolves have been thriving up north, too, and in the Lower Peninsula. This is where the story is going. I'm going to tell you about my encounter of the Dogman of Michigan. A myth going back to the 1800s in Michigan and Wexler County, which is in the upper part of the Lower Peninsula. The creature has been described as being over 7 feet tall with piercing blue eyes. The creature is also described as wolf or dog-like, with a torso of a man. The creature has been seen standing on its hind legs. The most horrifying feature is the wolfman's howl, which has been described as a human-like scream. Unsettling, to say the least. I bet, if you look around the internet, you'd find that every state has some type of legend like this. After all, the horror world loves the werewolf story. It's been in pop culture for almost 100 years. But the Dogman of Michigan, it's not just a story, and it doesn't match any Hollywood script. The Dogman is no teen wolf, I can assure you. The other part of this legend is that the Dogman only comes out in 10-year cycles. More specifically, years that end with 7. While doing my research, I thought this was just one of those details that make the story more fantastical. like how Stephen King's It character only comes back to feed every 27 years. Just an arbitrary number thrown in by the writer. But I had to stop when I thought back to seeing the creature. Sure enough, it was 1997. I was about 14 years old. As mentioned, the legend most cryptophiles are familiar with puts the Dogman of Michigan in the Lower Peninsula. My experience happened in the upper, the UP, as it's affectionately known. And before any genius in the comments says I probably just saw a wolf or a feral dog, let me stop you right there, Professor. You're going to read this whole story and say it anyways, but let me tell you, I have seen a handful of actual wolves in my life. Not many people have the privilege in real life when you think about it. They are coming dangerously close to being endangered in some areas, and where they do thrive are usually in real rural spots. I live in one of those areas. One moment stands out to me. Walking home on the dirt road, I saw it. I must have been zoning out, just wanting to lay down after walking miles home from school. Before I knew it, I was maybe 30 feet from a wolf that I could say was almost 100 pounds. I know some dogs can get that size, but believe me, you would not mistake a wolf like this for a dog. Moving on, I'll say that growing up in the woods was like waiting for something disturbing to happen. It would be unnaturally quiet for days or weeks. Then something would happen that would not only cause goosebumps, but maybe make you question what is happening in your reality. One night, while browsing the internet for one of the first times, I was maybe 12, I saw and heard a car screech to a halt on the county road outside our living room sliding door. Being that any kind of traffic was rare, this was alarming, especially at night. What I saw next is burned into my memory. Two men jumped out, one threw a shovel at the other, seemingly forcing him to dig. The man with the shovel now in his hands looked at the apparent driver, with pleading sorrow in his eyes. I could see his facial expressions from where I was. Maybe I over-exaggerated them in my young mind, but I know he was panicked. He was saying, "Please don't make me do this," without opening his mouth. The man who threw him the shovel and went to the back of the truck, grabbing what looked like some sort of cloth or burlap sack. I swear to this day it looked like it was the perfect size to hold a human head. The inferior man dug a quick, shallow grave. The alpha male threw the sack into the hole and forced his shovel man to bury it. Frozen in fear, I slowly regained my composure and called it a night, quietly going to bed upstairs, like the now speeding away men would hear me move and come back to snuff out the only witness to their unknown crime. The next day, I cautiously made my way to where they had buried their little secret. Nothing. Well, not nothing. There was nothing in the grave, but there were little footprints walking in the direction of the tree line on our eastern property line. In the lead-up to seeing the Dogman, a friend of mine and I were sleeping on our trampoline overnight. It was always a blast, being that there wasn't a whole lot to do in the OP, and the internet wasn't that much of an entertainment device at the time, which sounds ludicrous today. The trampoline was like the center of our family's home back in the 90s. We would try to stay up all night, watching the pitch-black sky and counting the quadrillions plus of stars in the sky. We saw never-ending shooting stars. My buddy would name them after current-day NASCAR drivers. Number 2 was Rusty Wallace, 3 Dale, of course. Number 24, Jeff Gordon. You get it? Neither one of us had a watch on, but when I heard a couple 5-gallon buckets slam around near the chip pile, I guessed it was maybe 4 a.m., based on the constellations and North Star. I was frozen in fear as my big German Shepherd Mel left his doghouse in a fury, barking and chasing off whatever made the ruckus near where my friend and I were sleeping. My buddy never budged. I just tried to ignore what had happened and forced myself back to sleep. It was probably an animal, no big deal. Waking up when the sun mercifully appeared, I sleepily eyed the immediate area of the trampoline. What I saw chilled me beyond words. What looked like human footprints were seen coming to where my friend and I were laying, then heading to where a few 5-gallon buckets were strewn about 15 feet away. To be clear, it wasn't bare feet prints. They looked like boots, and not my dad's. These were well above size 13 or 14. I had bigger feet than my dad at the time, and I was a size 11 at about the age 13. The thought of some creep walking towards us at night absolutely terrified me. Thank God for our dog. He got extra treats that day, and I never told my buddy what happened. That was child's play compared to what happened when I saw the infamous Dogman of Michigan. I had no idea at the time what I was dealing with. My young brain couldn't have been able to comprehend it anyways. It is still hard to comprehend, even as an adult. As a kid, I would venture to the woods often. Sometimes with my younger brothers, sometimes with friends, or sometimes just by myself. There's always an air of mystery when you're out in the middle of nowhere. The weirdest parts of the woods where I lived are those abandoned little structures. Best I could come up with is that these used to house hunters or farmers. I never dared to go into these one-room, four-walled structures. They had serial killer vibes written all over them. One night, when I was out way too late, was when I ran into the Wolfman. The sun had started to dip far too low behind the trees. You could become much too disoriented quickly when the natural light is fading. I usually didn't have a flashlight with me, as I never stayed out past dark, and back then, we didn't have cell phones. Hearing howling wasn't uncommon at all. Most times, it could be easily attributed to a pack of coyotes. They would hunt sick animals or younger deer that strayed from their herd. The howl I heard was not from a simple coyote. This was a deep, man-like scream that pierced my ears. When I regained my composure, I saw I was way too close to one of them freaky sheds in the woods. Slowly, I started to back away, in the direction I hoped was my home. A loud crash echoed throughout the woods. Frozen again, like I was just months earlier laying on the trampoline, I saw a wide-eyed man falling out of the doorway. Even in the darkness, I could see the whites in his terrified eyes, looking directly at me. He fell to the ground before locking his gaze onto me. He shakily reached an arm towards me. I did nothing. I couldn't move. Before I knew what was happening, a beast burst through the door after this poor soul. This thing was standing on two legs. It must have been over 7 feet tall. It was covered in gray fur. Its eyes were as yellow as the corn we had on Thanksgiving dinner. In the blink of an eye, it clamped its ivory fangs into the man, dragging him back inside the shack. Even though it was just past dusk, I could see shiny dark blood erupt from his throat. All I could remember was thinking, run. In what felt like hours, I finally exploded out of the woods. With my house now in view, I fell to the ground. Attempting to catch my breath, I cautiously looked back towards the trees. Two big yellow eyes glowed. I couldn't say for sure, but they looked like they were smiling. Keeping each other's glare for a moment, they slowly disappeared into the darkness. Finally making it home, my parents asked where I had been. I just told them that I was walking around the edge of the woods. It was all I could come up with at the time. It didn't matter. My dad went back to reading his Farmer's Almanac, and my mom continued to watch Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy. Ignoring the fact that I had just experienced the legend of the Dogman, I went to my room. The next day, I stared out into the woods. I imagined the man-like beast, tearing apart that poor man limb from limb, ripping his jugular out of his neck, disassembling and disemboweling until nearly nothing resembling a human remained. The dogman broke the forest, running towards me on all fours. It pounced, pinning me to the ground. It smelled like a dog, maybe rabid. It opened its impossibly big maw, drooling hot saliva onto my face. The last thing I saw was red, as my blood blinded my eyes. Waking up, gasping for air like I had been drowning, I shot up out of bed. I was drenched in sweat. Taking in my surroundings, I was more than relieved to see that I was in my bedroom. My Tyra Banks poster was facing me. My poster of Frank Thomas, The Big Hurt, was to my left. A huge breath escaped my lungs. My dad walked by and opened my door. "You okay, buddy? You went right to bed as soon as you came home last night." I made some kind of just-being-tired excuse, knowing I would always keep this experience of meeting the Michigan Dogman to myself, until now. If you are in the woods of northern Michigan, please, be aware. There are more than deer, bear, wolves, and dogs out there.